Tonight, a sitting US congressman says he's been approved to visit facilities connected to alleged UFO reverse engineering programs, and that visit may have already happened. The same congressman has also said he's seen videos convincing him something is flying without conventional propulsion. At the same time, the Pentagon's UFO office now says it's working directly with the White House to release never-seen-before UAP files. Hillary Clinton is being questioned about UFO disclosure in a legal deposition, and a retired Air Force general linked to early disclosure efforts through Tom DeLonge has now been reported missing. Something is clearly moving on this issue. Let's get into it. Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and excuse the sore throat, I wanted to get this recorded because there is some breaking news, and one of the more significant developments in the last few hours comes from Congressman Eric Burleson, speaking on The Resilience Show, hosted by former Force Recon Marine Chad Robichaud. Now, in that conversation, Burleson has said he formally requested access to facilities where there are reports of a so-called legacy reverse engineering program, potentially involving craft described as being of non-human intelligence or origin. He referenced claims of vehicles, materials, and even bodies connected to these allegations. Now, it's important to say he did not say he has seen any of this, but what he did say is that when he made the request, the White House had no issue granting approval for him to pursue access. He also stated that a first site visit was scheduled for the end of the month. That's important, folks. Now, since that interview was released on March the 2nd, I reached out to Eric Burleson's people for clarification on that timing. I've been told the interview was recorded on February 10th. So when Burleson said the end of this month, he was referring to the end of February, it seems, which raises a very important question. Has that visit already taken place? If so, what came of it? At this stage, we don't have any confirmation yet. I have followed up and I'm waiting for further news. We don't know if it was delayed or is still pending. Bear in mind, since then, the Iran conflict has kicked off. That is also the reason, it seems, we haven't had that bipartisan press conference that Jared Moskowitz commented on. A lot of moving parts have delayed a lot of stuff here. The world is up in the air at the moment. But based on the timeline, things may already be in motion. Now, in that same interview, Eric Burleson confirmed he has personally seen videos that convinced him something is operating in our skies that is not using conventional propulsion. Something he's not said too often before. However, he was careful to add, now this does not automatically mean extraterrestrial. He said it could be adversarial technology, it could be a private company breakthrough, or it could be something completely different. And his words were something supernatural that we do not yet understand. And that distinction matters here, folks. He's not declaring aliens. He's saying he has seen material that convinced him the performance characteristics are beyond what he recognises as conventional propulsion. That's still exciting language, folks. Burleson also stated that any such programmes would fall under the authority of Secretary Hegseth and could involve intelligence agencies or private contractors such as Lockheed Martin, Raytheon or Northrop Grumman. So if accurate, that represents something notable. Right now, we have again a sitting member of Congress attempting physical oversight of facilities tied to reverse engineering claims. It's no longer just hearings, no longer just speculation. We're now talking about scheduled access, physical visits, and timelines being measured in weeks. And I like that timestamp. I like the timeline that we could get something tangible. What makes this also interesting is who Burleson is tied in with and has been engaging. Now, we know former intelligence officer David Grush, who made allegations about legacy crash retrieval and reverse engineering programs, has worked with and is working with members of Congress, including Eric Burleson. Just in the last couple of weeks, Burleson has also appeared in news interviews alongside Dr. Stephen Greer, who he has publicly named multiple times and name-dropped in interviews as someone he listens to. Greer recently also named multiple locations, allegedly, where craft are said to be stored. He included Fort Sill in Oklahoma, facilities near Washington, D.C., and sites connected to Edwards Air Force Base in the Mojave Desert. Now, to be clear, Burleson is not saying he has visited any of those specific locations, but if a sitting congressman believes there may be exotic material at one of these facilities, the natural question becomes who is shaping that assessment? Is it being based on classified briefings tied to Grush? Is it based on independent investigation? Or is it influenced by some of the specific locations circulating publicly, being pushed by people like Stephen Greer? Either way, what's undeniable is this: there appears to be movement. There was a defined timeline, and if that visit did take place at the end of February, then we may already be in a new phase of this conversation, even if the details haven't surfaced yet. I would say, folks, that potentially things were delayed because of the Iran situation, but that is pure speculation. I don't know. Let me play a clip of just some of those things Eric Burleson said, and I'll get right back to you.
But what is reported is that we have a reverse engineering program that's called the Legacy Program of engineering craft that are of non-human intelligence. I have requested from the White House to go to these locations where people report that there's, like, whether it's a research center and they're reverse engineering, or where they've got a vehicle, or where they have bodies. I've requested to be able to go toward these facilities. Now,
you got approval?
The White House has no problem getting, you know, saying yes. I mean, whenever I made that request, they said sure. And we do have our first site visit scheduled at the end of this month. But yeah, it could be Northrop Grumman, Lockheed, Raytheon, you name it, that they have at least some components of craft that they're reverse engineering.
So, staying on the theme of movement around this topic, folks, another development worth noting involves the Pentagon's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, better known as ARRO. In a statement posted on X, ARRO confirmed that it is now working directly with the White House and multiple federal agencies to consolidate existing UAP records and prepare them for public release. I'll read you this statement, they said. So, they basically said, To that effect, ARRO is working in close coordination with the White House and across federal agencies to consolidate existing UAP records, collections, and facilitate the expeditious release of never-before-seen UAP information. Forgive me for raising my eyebrow at that one, folks. We welcome the President's initiative to supercharge these efforts and make more UAP information available to the public as soon as possible. So this is potentially looking like the direct mechanism behind the comments recently made by Donald Trump about releasing UFO-related files. On the surface, this is exactly what people have been asking for, a coordinated effort to gather records across agencies and make more information public. However, the big issue here, folks, the elephant in the room, is the reaction, quite rightly, from the UFO community has been mixed. And that's largely because ARRO does not have a good reputation among many researchers and observers following this topic. Critics argue that previous ARRO reports dismissed cases too quickly, relied heavily on incomplete data sets, and failed to fully engage with whistleblower testimony, particularly claims made by people like David Grush, who I just mentioned. So while the idea of consolidating and releasing unseen records sounds promising, this has been a bit of a body blow for some folks. There's a fair amount of scepticism, and healthy scepticism, about whether ARRO will be the right body to oversee the process. Still, taken together with the developments talking about on this show so far, congressional oversight, potential facility visits, and now ARRO and the White House looking to release files, we're seeing something building. There's an activity, there's momentum. Where that goes currently remains to be seen. And I suppose here's where this situation becomes even more layered. In Hillary Clinton's recent deposition around the Epstein files, Congressman Eric Burleson, again in the news, was the one asking questions about UFO disclosure. So he put to Hillary Clinton, referencing Lawrence Rockefeller's efforts and John Podesta's long-standing interest in releasing those files. John Podesta was Clinton's campaign manager back in the day. Clinton responded to Burleson's questions that she supports disclosure, provided national security concerns are protected, and that whatever can be disclosed should be disclosed. However, when she was asked whether she was aware of a specific program, she said she was not. So what we're seeing here is something interesting. The same congressman who is now pursuing a physical access to those facilities that may house crashed craft has also been pressing senior political figures on transparency. He's not just reacting to headlines, he's been pursuing the issue across multiple levels and multiple platforms. Here's a quick clip courtesy of UAP James on X from Hillary Clinton's deposition.
When your husband was president, it was Lawrence Rockefeller had an effort to try to disclose UFOs, UAPs. When you were running for president, John Podesta publicly stated that you would disclose these files if given the chance, if you had been president. Are you pleased to see that these files may be disclosed finally?
I am pleased. As I say, I think they have to be carefully scrutinized so that no national security information is disclosed. But this is an issue of real importance to so many people. And I think whatever can be disclosed should be disclosed.
Was there a program that specifically that was referencing that you were aware of?
John Podesta, who was one of my advisors, was deeply interested in the issue. And if I had been elected, I certainly would have listened to his advice.
So whether or not you believe in reverse engineering programs, folks, it's notable that disclosure language is now appearing in these depositions, congressional discussions, and direct oversight efforts. I can't help but feel this is a very interesting development, that these are interesting times. Regardless what else is going on in the world, whether you see this as a distraction, whether you see this as informative, whether you see this as progress for disclosure, let me know in the comments, let me know via email, let me know via thatufopodcast.com/contact, because I think there's a lot of differing opinion on this. But what is certain is there is still forward momentum that hasn't gone, not yet anyway. And I want to finish on a few items worth touching on before we get to the end of today's show. Three quick items that caught my attention. One of the more unusual stories circulating in the last few days, if you can call anything in this topic unusual, came from journalist Ross Coulthart over on his Reality Check show on News Nation. Ross said he had recently visited a location somewhere in the United States where sources claim there is what they describe as a portal. Excuse my Scottish accent saying that word. A site that is reportedly fenced off by the US Forestry Service. According to Ross Coulthart, the official explanation for the restricted area relates to ancient tribal artwork and archaeological protection, but he is sure that he's been told the real reason for the restricted access is something very different, the site allegedly containing some sort of portal. Now, as you'd expect, that claim has sparked a lot of debate online, depending on how far down this rabbit hole you like to go. Personally, listen, I find ideas like this fascinating as a what if. Do I think the universe may contain phenomena we do not understand? Absolutely. Are we talking full-on Stargate technology hidden somewhere in the American wilderness? We've heard rumours of, you know, Stargate-like technology in Iraq, for example, in the Middle East. Now, that's a much bigger leap, but who knows, because this is a strange phenomenon. Ross says he plans to follow up the story with more reporting, so that'll be interesting to see what further details emerge from there. On a slightly more grounded scientific story, Avi Loeb has come forward. Harvard astrophysicist Avi Loeb, who published a new article this week around the progress of the Galileo project. Loeb's argument is fairly simple. Instead of waiting for governments to disclose information about UFOs or UAP, science should go out and collect its own evidence. The Galileo project was launched back in 2021 with the goal of doing exactly that, building a network of ground-based observatories designed specifically to detect and analyse unidentified anomalous phenomena, specifically those in the air. The first of those observatories was installed on the roof of the Harvard College Observatory. Additional sensor systems are planned for deployment around the world. I believe they now have three. What makes these observatories different from traditional telescopes is the sensor suite. They combine optical cameras, infrared, radar-style tracking, and machine learning software to analyse everything moving through the sky, filter out aircraft, drones, balloons, atmospheric effects, get rid of all that noise, so anything genuinely unusual, the anomalous, stands out. According to Loeb, the system is now capable of collecting large volumes of calibrated data on aerial objects, which means research can now truly begin building a scientific catalogue of what's actually flying through Earth's atmosphere. And his broader point is that if governments remain slow to release information, the scientific community may be able to answer some of these questions independently through transparent data that anyone can examine. And I think that would be important, that it is open source and available to anyone. Now, whether or not the Galileo project ultimately finds anything extraordinary, Loeb's position is that systematic observation may be the fastest path to real answers about UAP. And finally, tonight, a developing story involving a figure some of you may recognise from earlier chapters of the UFO conversation. Now, retired US Air Force Major General William Neil McCausland, has been reported missing in New Mexico. Authorities have issued a silver alert after he was last seen on February 27th in Albuquerque. Police say they're concerned for his safety due to unspecified medical issues and are asking the public for help locating him. McCausland isn't just a former military officer. During his career, he commanded the Air Force Research Laboratory and held several senior roles overseeing space and advanced technology programs within the Department of Defense. The UFO conversation here, folks, now that surfaces from back in 2016, where the WikiLeaks release of emails and John Podesta's emails, who I mentioned before as Clinton's campaign manager, where Tom DeLonge being linked with McCausland as an advisor to him on his early efforts that would eventually lead to the creation of To the Stars Academy. In those emails, DeLonge suggested McCausland had been involved in discussions around UFO-related research and disclosure initiatives. If you're not sure of all that, folks, I've done some deep dive stuff in the past with various folks around Tom DeLonge's early days. The group that eventually came out as the To the Stars team, Lou Elizondo, Hal Putov, Steve Justice, you know, that crew, was not the initial team. Those are the B team, not to be derogatory. There were other names involved initially in what could have been the disclosure group, given the assumption was Clinton was going to win the election back in 2016 when Trump initially won. Clinton could be the disclosure president, etc., etc. Now, to be clear, there's no indication that his disappearance is connected to any of that history. And at this stage, it's simply a missing person case. And authorities are asking for public assistance. There's a lot of misinformation and nonsense about this going around online. And I think it's important to remember it's a sensitive subject here. But given his background, given his appearance in those well-known emails tied to the early days of modern disclosure, it's a story that's caught the attention of a lot of the UFO community. Especially when in recent times there's some mysterious circumstances around individuals connected to various projects going missing or something grisly happening to them, some kind of accident. So hopefully we hear positive news soon on the retired Major General Neil McCausland and that he is found safe. Again, folks, I'm glad you've got through this with my voice how it is. If the last few weeks have shown anything, it's that this topic continues to move in some very interesting directions. I'm sure the next news update won't be far away. Until then, please leave a like, leave a comment, subscribe on your chosen platform. The likes and comments on YouTube, folks, make a big difference and really help me out. So go and do that now. I'd really appreciate it. And it truly helps me get the word out there. So until next time, folks, I'll speak to you very, very soon. That's all for this episode of That UFO Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching. If you enjoyed the show, please follow, subscribe, and leave a rating or review wherever you get your podcast. It really helps others find the show. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like, subscribe, and turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. You can also support the show directly and get early access, ad-free episodes, and bonus content on Patreon or by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube memberships. All the links are over at thatufopodcast.com or in the show description below, along with merchandise and more. Don't forget, you can also pick up a copy of my book, Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, available now in all good bookstores and through online retailers, including Amazon. Big thank you again to all of you for listening and tuning in. Until next time, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.